help us to commence this morning with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known, 'tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. 1097. Thank you.
Let us read together for our instruction from the book of Psalms. We'll read three psalms, and the first is Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. For one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We will now turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And lastly, Psalm 132. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, nor slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, and into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore, thy throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but unto himself shall his crown flourish. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Gracious and merciful Lord God, we have read from thy holy word, indicted by the Spirit. Those that were of old wrote as they were moved, moved by thy Spirit in their very souls. And though, O Lord, we come to pray, we would pray from our hearts and pray with the help of thy gracious Spirit, that those desires and longings may be indicted by the Spirit of God, so that we come before thee in that sincerity, not the sincerity of the flesh, but the sincerity of the Spirit, and find that our desires are toward thee, toward thine house, toward thy word and truth, toward thy people, that we may be found as one amongst those that fear thy name. Lord, it has often been our concern, as expressed by the hymn writer, that with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Or may it be, Lord, that with each that are gathered here, they have a true desire, a longing soul for that which is for God and for his ways, his truth, and for those things which are all of thee. Now, O Lord, we come before thee first with confession. We, Lord, would not mar in any way the worship of thine house. But, Lord, we come as sinners. We come as poor, wretched, vile wretches who often have to mourn their pride and have to mourn the deceitfulness of their heart and have to mourn how backward we are in the things of God and have to mourn our lack of true desire and have to mourn, O Lord, our inability to come and confess before thee. O Lord, may we be found, O true mourners, over our sins and after thee. We would desire, Lord, that thou would break therefore the spirit of complacency, the spirit of hardness, the spirit which may boast of being something, when indeed we are nothing. That which was settled down and would say we are rich and have need of nothing, when indeed, Lord, we are poor and miserable, and but for thy sovereign mercy would only come to an untimely end. O Lord, we pray that we may be preserved from coming to that day, all being built upon our own self-sufficiency, but may we rather come to the end, though feeling utterly helpless, broken, yet to look alone to thee for that all-sufficient grace that can prepare us and make us ready for that eternity which thou dost prepare for thy own dear people. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of us, therefore, as we have to pass through life's pathway with its varying trials and troubles and vexations and temptations. Lord, thou knowest what may take place with one or with another in the course of their life. But it is, Lord, thy mercy, if thou dost sanctify all these things to us, thy dealings and every circumstance, so that it might work together for our spiritual good. We do pray that thou would help us, therefore, to look to thee, to wait only upon thee, to grant us, Lord, that true courage to press on against wind and storm and tide. Do, Lord, help us to press toward the mark of the high calling of God, knowing this, that such shall not be disappointed. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy mercy upon the poor and the afflicted, those that may be afflicted in their mind, those afflicted in their bodies, may find that with those situations, varying impediments and obstacles arise. But, O Lord, may they feel, as was with Gad of old, that though a troop may overcome them, they shall overcome at the last. But, Lord, we do pray that we may be given that enduring grace, and that our souls may press toward that mark, desiring nothing else but to be found in him, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and at last to be found with him, as amongst the multitude gathered around the throne, who cast their crowns at his feet. O Lord, when we consider all that we are, we marvel if we shall be found amongst the throng and to know the crown of glory. But Lord, we have to come and look alone to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith, to give us faith, increase our faith. May we often find that faith lays hold, even though we are cumbered with much unbelief. Oh, do, Lord, then help us to run the race, looking unto Jesus, laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. We pray that thou wilt be mindful of this people. Lord, as they gather here, do unite them in that one spirit. We pray that thou wilt indeed bless them together, and those that bear office, they may be given wisdom, love and humility, and able to walk before the people as is comely. They may feel unworthy, unsuited, insufficient, but, oh, may it prove, Lord, that thou dost enable them to so fulfill the word which thou hast spoken. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that are not able to gather, whether sickness detains, infirmities, old age. Lord, we would bear them all before thee. But are there any that stay at home because of no desire? Perhaps forced to stay there, but no real concern over their souls. Oh, that in that hour, that 11th hour, they may be brought to tremble at thy word, to consider their ways, to look over their life and realize what wasted years they have been, because they have been frittered, as it were, away. They're seeking to do their own thing, and also not having any real concern. Perhaps they have thought that they were secure. But, O Lord, we pray that there would stir up their hearts unto a true longing for the word to be sown into their hearts. We do, Lord, pray that there would be mindful of the young, the rising race. Oh, how, Lord, we do tremble for them. All that may need to be faced in this evil and sinful world. The ways of the world only increase in wickedness and must indeed be a stench in thy nostrils. Oh, do, Lord, put a fence about our dear young people. Cause them to consider the ways of thy people and to desire the things which are of God. Lord, help them to make a right stand in the right spirit and perhaps have a good influence with the world that they will have to do with. We do, Lord, pray that they will be mindful others that are elsewhere on this occasion. We would, Lord, remember the one who has been constrained to pass through the waters of baptism there at Chard. We would desire, Lord, that he may be may have that a blessing and the sweet confidence of a good conscience before thee. And Lord, those that were gathered to witness the occasion, that they may have been also moved in their own hearts. And those, therefore, that are associated or connected, and therefore not able to gather here, we would remember such. Lord, we do pray that there would be very gracious unto Zion. We live in dark and solemn days. We pray that there may be a little reviving in the midst. Oh, that we may see, Lord, a constraining and then a building up. And then, Lord, we need those to be sent forth into the work of the ministry, faithful servants who may declare the whole counsel of God. We thank thee, Lord, where there are those that have been raised up, and for those that have ventured to make a profession of their faith. But oh, that we may see, Lord, thy work appear in their solemn day, and that we may be able to stand. Many may be able to stand, and having done all, to stand. Now, Lord, we commend ourselves into thy hands. We pray for our sinful land, our leaders, that wisdom may be given to them. Our sovereign queen, have mercy upon her and the royal house. Do, Lord, grant that she, our queen, may yet be maintained. Lord, we would desire to thank thee that she has been spared for so many years, but oh, to see that true acknowledgement that thou art the only God, that there is none else, and that she has proved it to be so in her own soul. Now pardon us then of our every sin, make up in giving where we failed in asking. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 333. O my soul, what means this sadness? Wherefore art thou thus cast down? Let thy griefs be turned to gladness. Bid thy restless fears be gone. Look to Jesus and rejoice in his dear name. 333.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct your attention to Psalm 84, reading the first and second verses. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. These psalms were doubtless penned by the psalmists because it came out from their own hearts, feelings and desires. We know that from what we read of David's life, that many of those psalms were penned in such situations when he was in his greatest need, when he was brought to lean and look alone to his God for deliverance, for help, for strength, for wisdom, and also to know that his God was his God. And it is so with the people of God today, that they come and desire the same things because out of their experiences, though perhaps different in kind yet, and in detail yet, they are of the same nature, that the very principles of our trials and troubles and afflictions and sorrows and griefs, they will work in, as may be, through the goodness of God, to bring us to desire him, to desire our God, and also to desire his house, and to desire those that gather together. Now the psalms were not only for private considerations, but we know also were used in a public manner. And so they were often sung when the people were gathered together. And there was therefore a unity of spirit. If these were sung with heart and soul, well, as we gather together, how is it with you, dear friend? Have you been able to join in with what you sung this morning? Have you required the Lord to be as a refuge and to know, because the Lord has taught you of that one glorious refuge that we have, not in a thing or an object, but in the blessed person of the dear Son of God? Or have you come because you know that it is good for brethren to meet together and to be gathered together in that spirit of unity, and that you have felt sometimes the blessings flow forth when you've been in the house of God? Or is it that you are here out of mere tradition? It's the thing to do. We arise on the Sabbath day and we go to chapel. And is that where it begins? And is that where it ends? Have you come because you think by so doing that you will please God with your attendance, and perhaps with your concentration and with remembering this or that scripture, and filling your mind with many good things, so they may be good things. But, dear friends, is it only the mind that you are concerned about? If you can fill your mind with those things, then you will be acceptable with God. How solemn to come to that final day of your life and meet with your Maker. For you to say, well, we've listened to many sermons, we've filled our heads with much of the knowledge of the Scripture. Perhaps you will go further and say with those that are mentioned in the parable, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in thy name. And he say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. You went backwards and forwards to the house of God in presumption, presuming that you were fit. And now, at the very portals of eternity, you are shown your utter unfitness. Well, how have you come into the house of God this morning? Have you come as one feelingly unfit? A vile, wretched sinner, unworthy of the least of the Lord's mercies. But you have come because you have no other place to go. You come with that urgency of spirit and mind and heart. Out of the heart, you cry unto your God. You have a case too hard for you, too hard for any other, except that you know the Lord has his means, and that gathering together under the sound of the ministry is one of the means that the Lord uses. Have you come with a who can tell, that the Lord may be gracious on this poor, wretched sinner, with all my guilt and having to mourn over the fact that I've been viler than ever in the week that has passed? And what of your thoughts as you woke this morning? You may be saying, oh, if only I could have brought them round to think upon some good matter. But alas, the cares of life, the corruptions of my own heart seem to break out even more. But these things, have they kept you from the house of God, or have they driven you to the house of God? Have you had to come because it's brought you into this extremity? You fear the worst, but you hope. You hope for the best, and the best is that he, the glorious Son of God, the Son of Man, may have mercy upon you. So you may be like the blind Bartimaeus, who when he heard that Christ was passing by, he cried out, Son of David, O thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. He required mercy. Well, this will be one of the things that will cause you to be pleased to gather with the Lord's people. We find that there will be the work of faith in your own soul. And as David, who also felt the afflictions and needed the Lord to remember him in his afflictions, was brought to say, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to mine eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. And so you find that with fleetness of foot, you pursue your way to where the Lord has vouchsafed to meet his people. It was there at the tabernacle, there in the wilderness, that the Lord said that he would meet with them above the mercy seat. That tabernacle was in the midst of the whole congregation of the people of God. And they from the far corners of the campus are to then make their approaches. And when did they make their approaches? As guiltless and all well for some good act of worship? It was when they had to come with an offering. When they had to come and confess their sin, laying their hand upon the beast in the consolation that by so doing their iniquity may be imputed to the beast, and that being offered, the blood shed will make an atonement for their sin. But those that came rightly looked further than just merely the offering in hand. They were given faith to look to the greater offering, the one who alone can bear our sin and bear it away. Well, now I ask the question again, how have you come up into the house of God? Is there soul's desire for the Lord to make you accepted in his sight? For no man can be accepted clothed in his own filthy rags and garments. Ah, but God has made a provision. He's made a way. And he has also set before us a glorious gospel. A gospel to be preached. A gospel to be heard. Can it be said of you, blessed are your ears, that ye hear? Shall we say the words that came after many of the parables and also those letters that John wrote to the churches of Asia? He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So is this while you are here? that you may hear something. You know, I may have told you this in the course of my times coming here, but it's a very pertinent illustration. Back in the days of the great ejection, when many of the Lord's servants were thrust from being able to preach in the accepted churches of the day, the Church of England, as it would have been. And they then gathered together, and many of the non-conformist places of worship sprung up on that account. And there was on this occasion a dear soul who was making her way to the house of God. And she was apprehended by the soldiers that were often in the street to prevent such from going to such places as the non-conformist chapels. And she was asked, where was she going? And she replied, I am going to hear my elder brother's will read, and I want to know if there's anything in it for me. Who was her elder brother, her Lord and Saviour, who had died for her? That was what she was going to hear. Of course, those that stopped her did not understand, did not realise what she meant. So they let her go to fulfil her purpose. Well, we may not have that, but there might have been those things that have risen up in your own minds, which may well have hindered you coming to hear what your elder brother's will would leave for you. But you've pressed through. There's a great blessing, you know, sometimes in pressing through. And may you be found as those that press on, press through the crowd of all your unbelieving fears, in hope that you will find something for your never-dying soul. When David was in much conflict with the Philistines, who were seeking possession of the land of Judah and Israel. And David, he had a great desire come upon him. He desired to drink of the waters of Bethlehem. And you might remember there were those that hearing him desired it, they jeopardized their lives to go and draw though from that well of Bethlehem, those waters that they believed would satisfy David. Well, David, he considered that which had been brought to him, being at the risk of the lives of those that have got it, who almost been a sacred water, and he poured it out onto the ground because they had risked their lives. But we may drink of the waters of the true fount of Bethlehem, those waters having been spilt for us. Those are things being done through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, let me come now more specifically to the text. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? First of all, we can be confident that the tabernacles referred to those things which are temporary. All here below is temporary. The Word of God speaks concerning the very realm of creation, or the firmament or the skies, as being like unto a temple or a tabernacle. When we read in the 19th Psalm, we have these words. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as the strong man to run a race. We may indeed rejoice and glory in the great creation, which figures not only of those things concerning itself, but also there may be spiritual things which may come to our minds as we may consider the heavens. Again, we turn to the 8th Psalm and find that was exactly what the psalmist did. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. And so he goes on. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? But he hath set a tabernacle. Heaven and earth will pass away. It's temporary. But it's a place where man, and we may say more specifically, the chosen race of the Lord's people, being born into this world, are born for a purpose, that they may then know the blessings of a new life, realized through Christ himself, who is the temple of his people, that they too may be built up as a spiritual house, that there should then be the permanency of those things realized. The temple itself that was built by Solomon was little better than a tabernacle, but what it represents is something more. It sets before us a building that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That is what it prefigures. But the temple itself would soon come down. That which was replaced after the captivity, or they that came from the captivity to build again the house and the city of Jerusalem. There came then the moment when those disciples with our Lord took him and showed him all the stones of the temple there. And our Lord then told them that not one stone would be left upon another. Not of that, but a temple that was eternal in the heavens. That was now to be revealed. And it was not in bricks and mortar, No, it was with spiritual stones, lively stones, those that would all be found in Christ. Well, then we have these two aspects, a tabernacle which will be taken down, and the true temple which is forever. But in the present state, whilst we are here in this world, whilst those worshippers of the Old Testament were there in their place, they had were there in the wilderness, first of all in the wilderness, and then in their land, they had but a tabernacle which would be taken down. And we know that in their journeys it was taken down, but then to be set up again. And wherever the Lord will place cause his blessing to rest, then there will be the erecting, as it were, of that of a tabernacle. But what a sacred thing, though, to consider the tabernacles as they are appointed of God. And that tabernacle was appointed of God, which Moses was instructed concerning every detail. And that tabernacle also had its parts. And perhaps when the apostle said, perhaps when the psalmist says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles," plural, he considered the tabernacle, that which was often called the real tabernacle, was the holiest of all. But then there was the holy place, the two parts. And then there was the court of the tabernacle. And the psalmist, no doubt, when considering the tabernacle and its varying aspects, would consider it as the varying parts. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. But it was appointed. And don't despise the house of God, because it is the appointed place where the Lord's people may be gathered. We know that some may have their day. We hear of their doors being closed, and we may find that no longer there is a house for God in such a place. It was a solemn indictment that was spoken to those churches in Asia, and a gracious call from God that they may be brought to repentance, lest they should be spewed out and brought to nothing. And we know that those churches of Asia, they came to their end. We're seeing in our day many being brought to their close. Does it sadden your heart that these tabernacles or places are now being taken down, and nothing in their place? But does it also give you a thankful heart here at Swavesey, that you have not only a place to gather in, but also those to gather? And I trust that there are those that gather in the fear of the Lord, coming in the way that we've already expressed. Well, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Though these tabernacles may be looked upon as but for a time, yet there is a special, a peculiar beauty to be considered in them. First of all, they are amiable to the people of God because the Lord has pledged his presence. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. You may say, well, that's not the building. No, friends, it's not the building. The building is but a convenience of where the true living stones may be gathered and where the true house is found. But God is faithful to his promise. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Is the house therefore amiable to you because of the Lord's presence? What is the house to me, writes the hymn writer, unless the Master there I see? Have you come to see the Master? Have you come desiring that you may have eyes to see? What eyes do you need? You may sit in the pew, you'll see the preacher, but you may never see Christ. But if the eye of faith is given, if as the words which the preacher may speak are under the influence of the Holy Spirit to set before you something of the beauties of Christ, and you then see him. You then see him by faith. Is that what you want? Well, how amiable will his tabernacle be then? You'll find that the pulpit will be amiable, the pew will be amiable, and also those that sit therein. Not so much of it of themselves, but what they become as you see Christ exalted. Hear Christ exalted unto those poor, unworthy, needy sinners. And you are thankful that you are one of them, a poor and needy sinner. Well, how amiable are thy tabernacles? The tabernacles were amiable unto the psalmist, as he doubtless did consider that in the one there was the mercy seat. In the other part of the tabernacle there were those things, those furnishings, that set forth some aspect of glorious worship and also of Christ himself, which we will seek as help to set before you in the course of our ministering here today. But the first thing is this, that when you come, you find such an amiability in the tabernacle of the Most High, because you know that there is your access, the mercy seat. You come to the mercy seat. You come to where the Lord is pleased to meet with you. his intercessions are brought into focus. You have such an high priest who has entered into the heavens. One that may present your case and plead your cause. Oh, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Will you then stay away from this mercy seat? What a blessing it is that the mercy seat is not confined to dwellings indeed, but how great a blessing and privilege to unite at the mercy seat. And there with the brethren, you can plead your cause. Well, the tabernacles will indeed be most pleasant. And you can say, as I think we've already quoted the psalm, I was pleased and glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. There you know that is set before you the pale of the intercessions of Christ. And you desire to hear it. You know that if he should take your petition and, as it were, hand it in unto the Almighty, the Father of lights, and that he should plead your case, he will not be turned away. Neither therefore will you be turned away. The Lord will hear your case. He will accept the very words of your lips, though you may feel it's the profession of your lips is filled with sin. Ah, but he who pleads for you, he washes, as it were, every word of your petition and presents it as acceptable unto God. Well, how amiable then are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Do you begin to feel a warming and a thankfulness that there are these tabernacles that are set before us, and that there are the houses of prayer and the places of worship and the gathering together of the people and an exhorting of a precious Saviour? Oh, how amiable then. You find it pleasant. You find that the very tabernacles are acceptable in your own soul. You will not therefore despise the gathering of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but you will hasten to the house of God whenever you can. Whenever you may, whenever the Lord may have the doors open and the gospel is preached, you desire to hear the gospel. Well, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. We know that with the tabernacle there, at the very door or gate of the court was the brazen altar. And that speaks of sacrifice. To come and plead that one sacrifice. That is what we only can do. We do not come there with our beasts. Not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altar slain can give the guilty conscience ease or wash away the stain. No, you proved that you can come and go, but if there's no sacrifice offered, already offered, that which has been done, then it will bring no relief. You have nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, what a sacred place. And you brought perhaps through the hearing of these things and moved in your own soul to find there is a place for you, like there was for those women. They stood afar off, 'tis true, but they beheld him. But some have come and sat at the feet, at the foot of the cross. And what have they realized? The fact that their burden of sin has fallen from their back. And as Bunyan depicts it in his Pilgrim's Progress, have rolled down into the sepulchre, buried. Well, how amiable are thy tabernacles. And as such, a glorious exaltation, an exaltation of these things. Then you will say, yes, how amiable. How amiable is this place, spiritually. Not just to sit in the pew, but now spiritually, to sit, as it were, at the footstool of the cross and to see him bleed for me. To know that his blood was not shed in vain. To know that it was shed for this poor, unworthy, vile sinner. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. But I will leave the subject there for this morning.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Friday evening and Mr. Ridout next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their New Year services on Wednesday. Let us close with hymn 173. Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all, for I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. 173.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.